today.
We said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team, too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know. We can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the SIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
Let's go!
Go indeed. Welcome on in to the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Live streaming with the video as well on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. Good to be with you on a Tuesday installment of the Sports Hub on FSA. We'll catch up with the head coach of the Falkton area Trojans. A beautiful, gorgeous Week zero bye. Gotta love that. As he'll be joining us coming up towards the bottom of the hour, that's, of course, Shane Gaditz. We'll take a look at some Aberdeen Roncalli and Aberdeen Central news and notes as it pertains to the Lynx. They were swinging the sticks out there yesterday, as well as the poll season officially dropping. We've got two polls now in the state of South Dakota. We've got the South Dakota Prep Media Football poll, and we've got the South Dakota Power 5 poll. Is there a difference between the two? Well, depending on who you ask, there actually are some differences between the two. You can check out both of them on our website, hubcityradio.com. And the Frontier Conference, they just dropped their new football poll as well. Tukes, why do we care about the Frontier Conference? Well, Dakota State is now in the Frontier Conference, don't forget, as basically the NSAA joined the Frontier Conference from this last year into this year. So we'll talk about that as time permits. Minnesota Twins, they did not lose yesterday because, well, they didn't play yesterday. And they're back in action here today taking on the Athletics. They don't even have a team destination. They're not even the Vegas Athletics right now. They're just the Athletics. So that's coming up later on tonight right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen at 6:40. David Tewksbury joined alongside by the Cobra here on a Tuesday. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing all right. I'm doing okay.
Good, good, good. Looking forward to the show here today, talking some more football and poll season as well. And I tell you what, there's a beautiful thing about poll season. I like poll season. Some people, I kind of laugh to myself because it's interesting how some coaches say, we really don't care about the polls. And then at the end of the season, they're like, yeah, you know, we never really got a whole lot of respect. It's like, so what, were you lying then or are you lying now? So what is it? Is it column A or is it column B?
We used it as bulletin board material.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like this point of the season with the polls is just so hard because you don't know who graduated, who's coming back. Is this team going to be the same as they were last year? I mean, you got to do a lot of research to kind of find out who your five best teams are in each conference, if you will, or each class. So that's what makes it, I think, the hardest. You just don't know who's going to be all back from maybe a year prior. This team could be dominant last year. They might not be as good this year. It's just very tough to tell.
Mm-hmm. There's no question about it. You really have to put in a lot of time. And sometimes for some people, time is something that they don't really have a whole lot of. You got a whole lot on your plate, and it's like, I'm just going to go ahead and throw a bunch of darts at a dartboard. Oh, Viborg Hurley this week. Okay, all right, Parkston, why not?
So, they were good last year.
They were. They were a very good team, actually. They played in the Dome last year, as a matter of fact. Parkston did, and they fell to that Hamlin squad. What was it, 32-8 or 35-8, something like that? So, nevertheless, they should still be a very, very solid team here in 2025. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by the Cobes. Go ahead and toss this thing skyward right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Tomorrow, it's going to be sort of a quasi-Wolves midweek. It's not officially Wolves midweek season until school kind of gets back in full session and what have you, and volleyball and soccer and football and all the like, they get going. But we're getting closer and closer to full-on Wolves midweek season. And tomorrow, we'll be out and about at Northern State's campus. Northern State football, they practice daily at 9 o'clock in the morning. So we figured, hey, Why not do a Sports Hub on location tomorrow? Looking forward to that. Looks like it's probably going to be in Mike Schmidt's office. He gave us the opportunity, the choice of basically his office or one of the party decks. I was like, it's going to be really hot out. It's going to be really humid out. Let's go with the climate-controlled office of Mike Schmidt.
And we've done that there before. It's kind of got a nice view in the background of the field, so I'm not complaining about that. If I'm not sweating, I'm happy about it. So that's good news for me.
Right there with you. I am so tired of being eaten alive by mosquitoes. Can you imagine just like week zero, some of these games, like Friday night, for instance, quarterback drops back to throw, and then boom, he just gets hit by a mosquito, like right in the jugular. I'm not trying to make that paint that gross picture, but it does happen. I mean, mosquitoes, they don't care about what's going on out there. They see blood. They're going for these athletes, too.
Yeah, I hope that doesn't happen in the Aberdeen-Roncalli game Friday night. So, important to note, bring your bug spray. Because I'll tell you what, during the fair as well last week, they were pretty bad. Sometimes I didn't even tell until I got back. I'm like, man, I got really bit by some of these mosquitoes. So, yeah, bring the bug spray out because it's pretty bad out there with the mosquitoes.
I mowed my lawn there yesterday afternoon, and I definitely got eaten alive before I even got started. I had the bug spray up, that's for sure. Well, we start off with the jump here with one of your boys making some headlines here, and that's Mr. Joseph Flacco. Now, the president has said he's an elite quarterback. I do think he's a very elite quarterback. And if you look at the numbers, Joe Flacco and Patrick Mahomes over their last 17 starts, there's not a whole lot of difference between the two. Matter of fact, Flacco's got better numbers. He's thrown more touchdowns. He's got better passing yards as well. He's also probably, 10, 11 years older than Mahomes is, and I think if there's ever any doubt, Mahomes is a better quarterback than Flacco. I'm not trying to make that case. But you can mold stats any which way, but people are going all nuts on social media that Flacco is getting the starting nod, and I thought to myself, we kind of knew this like 5 months ago, right?
Yeah, when he signed, I think you thought...
A couple months ago?
Yeah, when he signed, you were like, who else is playing quarterback for the Browns? The only way he wasn't going to maybe start is if they drafted a quarterback with that second overall pick that they had, a top five pick. They didn't draft a quarterback until the third round, Dillon Gabriel. It's not like you're going to think, and then Shador later on in the fifth. Did you really think those guys were going to start third and fifth round picks over Joe Flacco? I don't think you did. So I like that the Browns are going with the veteran. You don't want to throw one of those rookies into a situation where they could struggle out of the gate. And Flacco, he's played pretty well in Cleveland. His first stint there, it made no sense they didn't bring him back. Last year he played with Indianapolis, and he was kind of up and down with the Colts. But, hey, he knows Stefanski's system, and I like that he's starting. But sometimes you got to take those stats with a grain of salt when it's all said and done.
Oh, 100%. No two ways about it. But at some point in time, maybe it's going to be Dillon Gabriel. It might be Shedeur Sanders. It might be somebody completely different. We'll have to wait and see. But the outrage machine on social media yesterday was going nuts. And I was like, this isn't really breaking news. We knew this was going to happen a couple weeks ago or a couple months ago.
It's been a circus with Browns because you're hearing more about third and fifth round quarterbacks than you would any other team. It just doesn't make much sense. I don't get it. I understand that these are big names and they were great in college, but we're making too big of a deal about third and fifth round picks. If they're good players, they're going to be able to play. If not, they're not. Now, I don't know what the Browns are going to do with their quarterback room. Are they going to cut Kenny Pickett or trade him, or are they going to cut one of these rookies? That's something that we'll have to wait and see.
I think Kenny Pickett probably gets traded because, A, he's actually got some legit experience at the quarterback position in the NFL in regular season games. And you can bet your bottom dollar that by week 4 or 5, there's going to be a quarterback in the league that's hurt, and he's going to miss some significant time. Hello, trade bait. Kenny Pickett is right there for you. So if I'm a betting man, which I'm not, but I'd say he's probably the odd man looking out.
And I think similar situation for a guy like Jameis Winston. He's out there in preseason late in the fourth quarter. This is Jameis Winston. As much as the guy isn't that great, he's a backup quarterback in the league. Let's be real. He's not a third-string quarterback. He's a backup on a team in this league.
No question. No question. Well, yesterday, we don't really talk a whole lot about other media entities, but I didn't realize that Rich Eisen made his return to SportsCenter last night. I mean, that was way over your head, way over my head. You're giving me that signal like, when did that happen? Well, last night, apparently. And it was popping up on my X feed this morning, and I don't know, maybe nature is healing, but Rich Eisen is back on SportsCenter, which is a beautiful thing.
It is, and did you see he had the old school graphics as well?
I did see that.
Awesome. And then he also had a tribute to his partner, Stuart Scott, towards the end, which I thought was awesome as well. Good to have Rich Eisen back on SportsCenter.
No question. He said, yes, we all know there should be someone else right here in this chair next to me. Those two guys are like a, or I should say were. I mean, it's not present tense anymore because Stuart Scott's passed on. But those two guys was like a symphony watching SportsCenter back in the day. I mean, they just, it was a hand-in-glove fit. And so good from back in the day.
Yeah, it really was. It was prime SportsCenter. Those two guys were two of the best. And with the tribute, they had a cool shot of like a picture of Stuart Scott over the shoulder of Rich Eisen, so it was kind of like he was sitting at the desk, which I thought was a neat little tribute as well there for him.
No question. Now, if you follow the College Football Network on social media, they're a great follow. They got all sorts of great content, and which, by the way, we're 18 days away from Northern State football. Brock Bogosi days away from kickoff there, as maybe we'll find out how that quarterback competition is going tomorrow during practice there. But the folks there at the College Football Network, they released the D2 football best names, the best names list. And I got to tell you, some of the names on this list are all-timers. Let's travel down south to Sioux Falls. DJ Ironshell, he plays for USF. Vory Peacock is another guy. Radical Rothermel, he plays for Tiffin University. That's in Ohio, I believe. Rocky Kuntz. Gold Trirak Jr. Best Dare. That's an interesting one.
Best Dare.
This is a guy that I love, and he's a really good player, too. For Concordia St. Paul, Crash Davis.
That's a good name.
For a linebacker, yeah. Lumpy DeWeese is a defensive back. Cash O'Callahan's another defensive back. King Leonard, a defensive back as well. And a guy by the name of Marvelous Owens also plays safety there as well. So a lot of great names out there in D2 football.
I like the Crash Davis. I'm with you as a linebacker. Playing downhill, you could have some fun with that one as a broadcaster.
Very much so. And oh, by the way, Black Hill State, their kicker is named Mason Crosby. No, not that Mason Crosby. Another Mason Crosby.
He came
Crosby.
Back from retirement?
Yeah. Hey, you look a little gray up there, Mason. He's got documentation.
I am 12.
I am 12. Bingo. Love it. Coming up next on the show, we're talking some preseason polls. Coming up next on the program are some local teams within the crosshairs of the media folk. We'll talk about that, plus Aberdeen Roncalli and Central on the links there as well. Matter of fact, Roncalli is back at the links here today as they are the West Central invite, if memory serves correctly. Yes, indeed, their early bird invite. And then towards the bottom of the hour, we'll talk about the Falkton Area Trojans football squad head coach Shane Gaditz. He'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, and also just saw this on social media. We were kind of holding out hope. Well, I'll speak for myself. I was kind of holding out hope that we'd see Lincoln Keenholz, a quarterback for Ohio State, and Julian Sain. He has actually beat him out in the quarterback competition. So, unfortunately, no governor at the quarterback position there at the Horseshoe.
Yep, and we said that's going to be a tough competition. Obviously, it was pretty close. They named that starter pretty late, I feel like, because the college football season starts in 9 days.
They're playing Texas, right?
Yeah, they play Texas out of the gate, so it's going to be a tough matchup for them out of the gate. So I was surprised. That tells me that it was a pretty good competition. So if he struggles, you could see Keenholz later on down the line.
And not only that, but the reality is everyone is one play away from playing at any point in time in the regular season anyway. So have to wait and see how that all plays out. All right, the preseason South Dakota Prep Media Football poll has been released. Kind of skipping past 11 AAA because there's really no regional interest for us here, but a whole lot of the usual suspects there. Class 11 AA, speaking of the governors, they got 15 of the 16 first place votes. They are followed by second place Yankton, Brookings 3, T4, Watertown, the defending state champs from last year, sitting in the number 5 spot, while Aberdeen Central is receiving votes. Anything in there kind of pique your interest? I thought Pierre receiving 15 of the 16 first-place votes, that just says, all right, we had a down year, literally a two-point conversion away from, was it tying the, or was that for the win?
I think that was for the lead.
Yeah, I think that was for the lead there at the Dome last year, but they had a quote-unquote down year, literally losing by a point or two at the Dome, and a lot of people are saying, yep, they're going to be right there in the once again.
Yeah, I think they just they had a good year last year. They had to go on the road in the playoffs, and they were able to go and beat Yankton on the road, and then they were able to go to the Dome as well and just came up short against that Watertown team. Not really surprised that they got all the first-place votes considering that they got their quarterback back again here this year in Lounsbury. He comes back. Plus, you know, they rebuild pretty well there in Pierce.
They retool.
They retool. They do a really good job. I think T could be a team at that fourth spot I'm looking at saying, hey, they could maybe compete at the end of the year. I think they are a young team. They were a young team last year and 2 years ago. Now those kids are juniors, and they're going to have a good year.
And if you're Aberdeen Central, they just got to stay healthy. You know, I mean, my goodness gracious, this last year in particular, you basically rolled the football out, and you're like, all right, we're without him. He's out. Okay, starting quarterback's out. What do we do on offense? There were so many games last year. They just had a they almost had to scrap their game plan after Friday night for next week to say, okay, well, we got a completely different offensive set this year, so they just got to stay healthy.
Absolutely, and they try to implement a new system on offense, and you saw flashes of it in that Pierre game, especially when everybody was healthy. I know that was the week one. They took Pierre to the limit there at week one at the Gene Brunel Complex. They got some playmakers, Ridley Waldo, Carson Borg. Those guys are guys that played a lot of football last year. They're going to have to lean on those guys. Joey Dahlman's back as well. And if you can stay healthy at that quarterback position, they could be right there. So we'll just have to wait and see. And you're spot on, too, because health is going to be important for the Golden Eagles in 2025.
And obviously that's evergreen sound for every single team out there, but it just feels like they're kind of like the San Francisco 49ers of 11 AA football. The Niners are either super-duper hurt or they're a Super Bowl team.
Yep.
You know, I'm not saying that Central's a Super Bowl team, obviously, but, you know, they've had a lot of injuries, so hopefully they can stay healthy here this upcoming season. Class 11, single A, no regional squads there of note. Lennox, they won the whole thing last year, but of course they lost their quarterback as Mr. Katzer is now a Northern State Wolf. They did pick up one first place vote, but Sioux Falls Christian, they are the odds-on favorite there in 11 single A. 11B, this is more regional for us. Winner picks up 14 of the 16 first place votes, while Sioux Valley picks up two. Elk Point Jefferson sitting in the number three spot, followed by St. Thomas More and Wagner rounding out the top five. Other squads that are receiving votes include Woonsocket, Wessington Springs, Sanborn Central. Don't forget, they're the Bucks now this season. They've got their new name change. So if you see that logo on the internet, you're like, who is this team? Well, that's Woonsocket, Wessington Springs, Sanborn Central. They are the Bucks. Mobridge Pollock, the Tigers there too, and a team that's coming to Dakota Bank Stadium on Friday night, the Cyclones of Clark Willow Lake, they too are receiving votes.
Yeah, I'm looking at 11B. I think Winter was kind of the team everybody was looking at to start the year, and same with Sioux Valley. Those were the top two. When I was kind of doing this earlier, I was trying to figure out who that fifth team was. Mm-hmm. I originally had Hot Springs in there. I was kind of torn between them and Wagner and a team like Clark Willow Lake as well. I had them kind of lurking as well for that five spot. I think 11B is going to be pretty competitive this year, and you just see that with the receiving votes category. A lot of these teams were receiving votes from the region, so I think 11B is going to be pretty deep in 2025.
I think you just outed yourself. You are a voter for this top five poll, are you not?
Well, I was trying to figure. I was looking at the poll. Yes, I am.
Yeah, yeah. There's nothing wrong with
that. Yeah, I am. I vote. Yeah. Yes, I am.
Matt
a vote.
Votes for us. It's okay. Yeah, it's not breaking news. It's just one of those things. And we do have votes here at Hub City Radio. So Matt takes care of that for us. And obviously, that's going to be a team that's rolling into town there on Friday night in Clark Willow Lake that has some expectations this season. And I'm looking up and down their roster. They've got good numbers. Emerson Larson returns for that team, and he's one of those guys that is an absolute beast on the hardwood in terms of basketball, but he's just an overall athlete. And if I'm Billy Young, you know, I'm, you know, scheming, I'm got my game plan and everything else for Friday night, he's got to be like the MDM, one of the most dangerous men out there that you got to figure out how to slow down on Friday night, right?
Yeah, no doubt about it. And we talked about this with the Castlewood and Warner game, like Josiah Pump, seeing him on the roster. That's another MDM right there. Like, you have his name highlighted. You don't need to watch film to know that this guy's going to be a vital part of the offense or the defense or whatever. So that's definitely going to be something that Aberdeen Rock Holly's going to have to do is key in on him. But if you remember last year, they did a great job. Mm-hmm. You lost the game 2-0 last year.
Yeah.
It's not like you got bolted on defense. You did a really nice job. So I think for Roncalli, they got a lot of youth coming in, and we talked to Coach Young about that last month when he was on the Sports Hub. They're going to have to try to find those roles out, and this is a good test for them to start the year. You are at home. Last year you were on the road, so there is a little advantage there.
Cavalier Countdown starts up at 6:30 coming up this Friday night over on Pheasant Country 103. Some of the nine-man football, 9AA. I was a little bit surprised. I wasn't shocked, but maybe a little bit surprised. Elkton Lake Benton, they are the number one pick. They picked up 5 first-place votes. Hamlin is in the number two spot. They did defeat Elkton Lake Benton twice. I get it's a new year. There's different players and all that. But Hamlin has more first-place votes than Elkton Lake Benton. That's just kind of the way the media folks just kind of put in their votes and what have you. I thought that was just kind of interesting. Parks to the number three spot. Viborg, Hurley, and Freeman, Marion, Freeman Academy rounding out the top five, while Leola Frederick regionally, they are receiving some votes. That was just kind of unique. You typically don't see that a whole heck of a lot, a team that has more first-place votes than the number one-ranked team, and they're just 1 point or make it 11 points behind them.
Yeah, this one surprised me a little bit, just considering Hamlin beat Elkton Lake Benton twice last year. And like you said, obviously graduation, different players. But I was surprised, especially after we talked to Coach Sheehan there, bringing back Wadsworth is definitely something that I'm looking at. That's going to really be helpful for Hamlin moving forward. But, I mean, you could really flip-flop those teams at the end of the day. I think those were the two best teams. You had Parks in there as the top three. 9AA, those top three teams are really, really stout.
And I'm really excited to see what Colt Beck has to offer that Elkton Lake Benton team. He had a really nice year at quarterback last year. Now he's a senior, so maybe a little bit undersized, 5'9", only 175, but he had a nice year last year. So, yeah, I think to your point, you kind of flip-flop those teams and you see how it all shakes out. Elkton Lake Benton, Hamlin, collision course. You heard it here first. All right, 9AA. You've got Howard, the number one ranked team. They had 7 first-place votes, followed by Wall. They, too, had 7 first-place votes. That's 1 and 2, respectively. The Warbirds of Woolsey-Wessington, third. And you've got Warner in the number four spot, while Harding County Bison is in the number five spot. Other squads receiving votes, Centerville and Phillip there, too. But, yeah, Warner, even without their two quarterbacks, I don't know how many people around the state didn't know they didn't have their two quarterbacks going into Friday night, but they're still getting a lot of love, and rightfully so.
Yeah, I think 9A was pretty simple with the top five. When I looked at this earlier, I said those are the top five best teams in 9A. Howard, number one. I mean, it's Howard. Pat Rommel does a great job out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was surprised maybe with Wall. They got a lot of love in this poll. I mean, it's 1 point, 69-68. They both got 7 first-place votes. So, surprised there. I thought Howard was maybe going to be unanimous there, number one.
As it pertains to the top five poll, or make it the power five poll, that was pretty much similar as it pertains to 9A. Howard got 14 first-place votes there, while Wall got 4. So a little bit different in terms of first-place votes between these two polls in that regard there. And finally, over in 9B, Sully Buttes, of course, they won the whole thing last year. They had a really quiet, good year last year, and then all of a sudden it's like you blink your eyes and you're like, wait, this team's in the Dome. Yeah, they're really, really good. And they had themselves an incredible performance at the Dome there, too. It was fairly lopsided, if memory serves correctly.
Yeah, no, they took care of business at the Dome. They played Faulkton.
That's
right. They won that game pretty handedly. And like you said, that was kind of a sneaky last year. Maybe they caught some guys under the radar. And now that you are on top, are you going to, you know, be able to bounce back from that in a standpoint of, hey, you're going to get everybody's best game now? I'm not saying that teams were taking them lightly last year, but they just kind of snuck up under the radar last year. You saw them, they were, like 10-1, 9-2 at the end of the year.
Well, the reason I say that, and I think maybe to an extent that you do too, is we looked up and down their season schedule, and you're like, are you really battle-tested? Like, you've beaten,
yes,
like, a couple teams, but otherwise, all right, you beat a team that's 0-8 there, you beat another 0-8 team here, you beat 3 teams in your regular season that were combined 0-24. How good are these guys? Well, just goes to show you, you don't always have to be battle-tested to win the whole thing. They beat Faulkton 34-14 there at the Dome. They are the number one selection, while Faulkton is in the number three spot. Avon, number two. Del Rapids, St. Mary, four. That's a team that you saw this last year in the playoffs there in Faulkton. Canastota, five, while Harriet Selby and Hitchcock, Tulare, they're also receiving votes.
Yeah, I think 9B is going to be super competitive.
It almost always is, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. I think any of those top five teams could be juggled at the end of the year. I think Faulkton there at three, it just makes sense with how Avon has played over the last couple years. I mean, that's a team that won it 2 years ago. Obviously, they got knocked out last year in the playoffs, but that's a really solid team. We know how good Faulkton is. Del Rapids, St. Mary's, that's a very talented team. They lose maybe a little bit from last year, but we'll just have to wait and see how they come out this year. But I think 9B is going to be a lot of fun.
Speaking of those Trojans, the head coach of that squad is Shane Gaditz. They've got a week zero bye. I think most coaches would say you'd like to get your feet wet on August the 22nd, but nevertheless, he'll be joining us coming up next on Fox Sports Aberdeen. We're rocking and rolling for a Tuesday installment of the Sports Hub. Smash that like button, share the stream. It takes like a half a second to hit the thumbs up button on there. Helps out with the algorithm and helps out us get the word out about these kids, these programs, these schools, what have you, and helps us get the word out about the Faulkton Area Trojans football squad as friend of the program Shane Gaditz joins us here on a Tuesday morning. Coach, good to talk with you. How are you?
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm doing great.
Just wrapping up practice there for sure, and you said that Mr. Dosh is down there, and Cobra was like, yeah, that's his old kind of stomping ground, so nice to see a friendly face down there, I'm sure, huh?
Yeah, he came down, watched a little practice, and talked a little bit, and yeah, it was nice. We start school tomorrow, so it was our last chance to get out in the morning and hopefully beat a little bit of the heat, but it was a little humid, so yeah.
I was going to say, how much weight did the players lose in water weight? My goodness gracious, it was like 97% humidity this morning. That's just brutal, isn't it?
Yeah, it was tough. We added helmets and shoulder pads off, plenty, and lots of drinks and popsicles at the end and the whole nine yards, so yeah.
That's probably
cut
like
some of the running out.
I was going to say, that's like 87% of the reason why the guys even play football, right? Just for the popsicles, strictly?
Yeah, that's right. Watermelon yesterday, popsicles today. I mean, yeah.
Good stuff.
That's not a bad deal.
That's not a bad deal at all.
Yeah.
So how do you think practice has been going here? We talked about it. You get that week zero bye. Your first game isn't until the 29th, so probably a little bit extra time to prepare for week one.
Yeah, you know, it's been going good. I mean, I think we're at the point, you know, it'd be nice to play a game. But kids have been working hard, and it gives us a little chance to get some extra reps and get a little more prepared. So, you know, it is what it is, and we went through it a few years. Did it about 10 years ago, did it last year, and made it work. So, yeah.
Shane Gaditz, head coach of the Trojans of Faulkton, joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And we'll talk about the schedule, I'm sure, as it pertains to this year. But I'm curious, do these schedules change much at all? I know last year it's pretty much the same teams and what have you, obviously different locations. You know, if you played Ipswich at home last year, you play them on the road now this year. But do these schedules change a whole heck of a lot in terms of oppositions at some point in time in the not-too-distant future?
Well, next year will be a new calendar, so our bye week will probably change for sure. And our non-conference football opponents, we, you know, if we go up to 9A or if someone moves up a class, they try to have you play 9A teams as your non-conference game. So, yeah, I think there's some change in every 2 years. Depends how full your conference is, but that bye week usually does change. So, yeah.
Okay,
for sure. And, you know, we were going through the schedule, and I said, hey, Tukes, the schedule looks pretty tough this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, you play a lot of teams that are solid this year. Do you like kind of how the schedule shook out in 2025, 26? I mean, you guys play some pretty good competition this year.
You know, our schedule's tough. The Lake Region Conference, in my opinion, is one of the best football conferences in the state. And I know there's people that would argue that. But, you know, we got a mix of 9AA, 9A, and 9B. And as a 9B football school, you know, we play a lot of these upper division teams. And some of these 9B schools, all they do is play 9B schools. So for us, yeah, it's a tough schedule. And like I said, week in and week out, we got good teams on our schedule. So the one thing about it is tough, but it also makes you battle-tested as you get in the playoffs. You know, last year we had two losses, and there were a couple teams that only had one in the playoffs, and we were ahead of them because of the strength schedule that we played. So it works both ways.
Oh, that's just it. I was going to say, playing a team like Warner, especially in 9A, that's got to help you in terms of the strength of schedule, because I think you almost kind of hit the nail on the head there, is the fact that you're sort of punching up a weight class, if you will, that really, really helps you come late September, early October, right?
It does. It does. Like I said, if you can get through it and stay healthy, the opportunity to play those good teams, they do nothing but make you better. Iron sharpens iron. That may be an old wrestling cliche, but we need to face tough competition to make ourselves better.
Looking at your roster here, Coach, see you bring back Tristan Berloon and Drake Mueller, Cade Lanenhart. I mean, these are guys that were part of it last year and part of your long runs the past couple years, and that's got to be pretty awesome as a coach, you know, being able to see these guys grow up. And you guys have certainly had a ton of success, and now some of these guys are in their senior campaigns.
Right. Yeah, we graduated 6 seniors last year that are a big part of our program. They did a lot for us, but we got 5 seniors this year that have played a lot of football and are excited about getting their opportunity to lead this squad. And they're good kids, and they played a lot of ball over the last few years, and yeah, they're ready to make it their team.
Offensive line, I know that's kind of your bread and butter. That's where the game's won and lost, in the trenches there. How's that kind of position group playing right now in practice and fall camp, and your expectations for that crew?
Well, we returned 2 guys up front that played there, and but we also have 2 other guys that got starts there last year during the season because of injury. So we got some experience. We got some guys that can play. We got guys that worked hard in the weight room this summer to get better, and they're competitors. So, it's getting there. The more reps they get, the better they look, and they're physical, big, athletic kids. So we're excited to see them play.
Looking at your roster as well, it looks like you got a couple quarterbacks on the roster, 2 upperclassmen, obviously a freshman. How's that competition going? I know Spencer Melius last year, he was injured, and I'm forgetting who played quarterback last year. I had it on the top of my head.
DeMaria.
Yeah, DeMaria. DeMaria
stepped in after Melius got hurt. Stepped in after Melius got hurt and did a great job.
Yep, DeMaria. So now Melius going to be a senior. How's that competition there at quarterback?
You know, then Spence is doing a good job, and so is Sean. They're both doing a good job battling, and, both bring some different things to the table for us. And, we're just excited to see who's going to make more plays for us.
Captains, how do you figure that out? Is that all you, or is that kind of like a leadership council thing that the players vote on? How do you go about selecting captains, and why do you even have them? Coaches don't even do that.
Yeah, our seniors are our captains. We don't vote. We don't do anything different. You know, leaders kind of separate themselves. We talk about leadership a lot. We try to do a few things to help develop our leaders. But leaders kind of are leaders. They kind of set themselves up. And me especially, could do a better job helping develop leaders probably and do some different things. But, our seniors, we just call, they're our captains, and everybody else. Sometimes you get some younger kids that step up and are leaders and kind of act like captains. But our captains, they lead our stretches, and then we kind of expect our seniors to lead our team, and that's kind of where we're at.
You kind of maybe already answered this to a certain degree in your last response there, but what makes a good leader in your eyes? Are there different sorts of good leaders, or is it just, hey, this is the way I like players to lead?
You know, to me, a leader is a guy who's going to show up every day and give their best effort. They're going to have character on and off the field. They're going to be positive to the young kids. You know, once in a while, they might have to get after someone once in a while. In a positive way, you know, hey, you can do a little better or whatever, but leaders hold people accountable, and you know, they just, a lot of leaders are leader by the way they do things, and I like that. I mean, sometimes I need to say something, but I like guys that just get out there and lead by example, and that's really important to our team.
Do you feel like you have more leaders that do that, just maybe aren't as vocal, they kind of lead by their play and kind of how they prepare and how they practice, more so than a vocal guy, or do you have a mix of that in your opinion?
A little of both, but I think a lot of them lead by example.
Have these student athletes, because you've been doing this now for a good amount of years, have you seen the student athletes change a lot? You know, I think the old man yelling at the cloud would say, oh, the phone and this and that, and like, but at the end of the day, students are students. But have you seen them change a whole heck of a lot over the last, I don't know, 15, 20 years or so?
I mean, I think there's a little bit of change. I mean, I think the way we do things in life are different. The way that we're told to do things at practice. I mean, it's 100 degrees out here today. The helmets and shoulder pads went off a lot. That wouldn't have happened, 20 years ago. So I think we've helped change kids a little bit. But, the kids are still the same. We've got good kids around here. They still got old school mentality and work ethic. And so I don't think it's changed a lot here.
Do you feel like the weight room kind of like, obviously, the technology and the weights have been, are probably a little bit different than it was, 15 years ago or whatever. You know, I feel like guys are focusing more so on that style of it so they're ready to go, you know, come August.
I agree. Kids are more prepared. You know, it used to be they didn't show up in the summer and they worked or they played baseball, but now, yeah, they're lifting, their strength and conditioning going on all summer long. So kids are way more prepared for practice than they used to be, I think. You know, you're kind of coming ready to go a little bit more.
A couple more here with Shane Gaditz, head coach of the Trojans of Falkton on Fox Sports Aberdeen. So what, do you grab some popcorn or something on Friday night, pull up a stream of Timberlake against Ipswich, or, you know, what do you do on Friday night?
That's probably it, yeah. Sit on my couch, find a couple games to watch, and that'll be about it, yeah. It's kind of the way it is. So, it's nice that you can find a lot of games out there. But, yeah, we'll try to watch Ipswich and Timberlake on film and or on TV and try to get ourselves the best we can prepared, ready to go for next week.
I was going to say, you almost have to watch that as a coach, right? I mean, you can't just sit back and enjoy the game as, you know, a pass, you know, as a passerby, as a fan.
Correct. No, yeah, we gotta get something. Maybe that's our advantage. You know, they're going to have the advantage. They get to play a game. Our advantage is we're going to get to see them play. So,
yeah, and last year's game, a 28-14 win for you guys. Do you even really watch any of last year's tape to get you prepped, or is it kind of like we're going to watch, obviously, the game they're playing week zero and then kind of go from there?
Yeah, you put more stock in week zero just because of the way, you know, they had graduate kids that left and we did too. But, you know, I've gone back and watched a little bit, seen some things they did and, you know, some things that we did. And, yeah, so you look at them both a little bit. But, you know, a lot of it's going to be just how things start in the, you know, in that first game.
I'm looking forward to it here in the not-too-distant future. 1 week from this upcoming Friday, we'll have the broadcast for you over on KSDN. 930 and 102.1 will be there in Ipswich between Falkton and Ipswich. Coach, appreciate you doing this, and enjoy Friday night. Enjoy the popcorn. Don't put too much salt on there. Don't too much now. Too much is not a good thing. Nevertheless, enjoy the popsicles there, too, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, thank you. I appreciate the coverage.
You got it. It's our pleasure for sure. Head coach Shane Gaditz, friend of the program here of the Falkton area Trojans on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And I tell you what, I look up and down their schedule. There is basically, as Bill Belichick would say, not a whole lot of days off there for sure. And one thing I like about their schedule is basically through the meat of September, they're at the Gary Cunningham Complex. They're at home there. They've got Warner, Leola Frederick, and Sully Buttes against three really good teams, and I think Coach Gaditz would say, boy, am I glad those are home games.
I agree. They start the first two games on the road against Ipswich and Harriet, and then you get those three home games against three really good teams, Warner, a 9AA team, and Leola Frederick and Sully Buttes. And you know they got that Sully Buttes game circled there on the 26th.
Yep.
I'm seeing it's a 3:00 start. I don't know if that's accurate or not.
That did change. Yeah, we didn't get a chance to ask him about that. But, yeah, that was supposed to be a 7:00 start, but that got changed. I wonder if that's one of them deals of official Perhaps. Shortage. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that should be a great game nevertheless. But, yeah, they got those three games at home, and that's going to be really the big point of their season, where they're going. And this is a really experienced team. I'm looking up and down the roster. You bring back Tristan Balloon. Are you kidding me? At running back and fullback. That guy was dominant in that St. Mary's game I covered last year.
That guy was like trying to tackle a Pepsi machine, if memory serves correctly.
Yeah, he was like a refrigerator. He reminded me of like the fridge.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, but obviously he was not just a goal line threat. They'd give him the ball no matter where he was on the field. He was incredible.
All right. Looking forward to their season here. Once again, 1 week from Friday, they'll take on the Tigers of Ipswich. Of course, Ipswich opens up their season this upcoming Friday. That'll be against Timberlake. That matchup will be in Timberlake. Coming up next on the program, we're talking some high school golf. A really good start for the Cavaliers of Aberdeen Roncalli. We'll talk about that next. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. Talking off the air about that matchup with Sully Buttes and Falkton. Let's just let the let's just let the weeks go by. We'll get into that contest and that conversation later, late September, 3:00 game. We're fired up.
Yep. We'll get into that later.
We'll get there. We'll get there slowly but surely. Do you want to put the cart before the proverbial horse? Sioux Valley played an invite yesterday. Lots of local squads were on hand. Sisseton, Groton, Aberdeen Roncalli, Redfield, Milbank, and others. How about the Cavaliers finishing 22 strokes ahead of the rest of the field? They shot collectively a 306, 18 over par. Madison in second, a 40 over 328. While Sioux Valley blew Brookings junior varsity program, easy for me to say, they finished in fourth with Groton rounding out the top five. And you had three of the top five finishers, Cavaliers. Finn Anderson, your medalist there, he carted an even par 72. For first place, Harper Schnabel of Aberdeen Roncalli, his teammate there, a 2-over par 74. He finished in second, while Lucas Daggett of Roncalli, a 6-over 78, good for fourth place. And, you know, we talk about how good Claire Crawford and how good the Roncalli girls golf team is, Mackenzie Wegehop, others. Guess what? The boys team's pretty good there, too. So big shout-out to them finishing in first place on the Sioux Valley invite.
Pretty dominant performance there from the Roncalli boys. And I was thinking about it this morning. I feel like some of the, when you got this fall golf season, like you got a pretty big advantage because you've been playing all summer. You've been playing all summer. So you get to this, and it's not like, oh, I haven't swung a club in forever. And not saying that these guys are great golfers. They're swinging year-round. But being able to play on pretty competitive courses at the prime season definitely helps these kids out.
And especially if you're playing in the SDGA Junior Tour and stuff like that, you've been playing competitive golf since early May.
Yeah.
And you're catching your stride right now. It's like, oh, I figured this out. Oh, I got a really, really good shot right now out of my wedge. It's hot right now. Now you parlay that into high school golf season. Next thing you know, you're medalisting? Can I make that a word? Heck, the Oxford Dictionary just added like 10 other words that aren't even really words. Skibidi was another one. Don't get me started.
Oh, geez.
But Finn Anderson, one of those guys, he's been doing it for a long time anyway. But good start for him and Harper Schnabel and Lucas Daggett there to boot. On the Aberdeen Central side of things, they had the Brandon Valley invite, and the host squad would finish in first place. Watertown, O'Gorman, Brookings, and Brandon Valley Black rounding out the top five there. Carter Peterson of Brandon Valley, who would be your medalist there. 3-under 68, good for first place. For Aberdeen Central, you had Caelan Larson finish in 13th place. He would card a 5-over 76. And also Cole Brust, Jackson Ravelette, Easton Clute, and Maddox Dinger also there within the top 50. So check out our website, hubcityradio.com, for more details there. On the college football side of things, you had the Frontier Conference poll dropped yesterday. Dakota State regionally, they of course now joined the Frontier Conference alongside Dickinson, Mayville State, VCSU, and looking forward to that season. That'll be here before you know it. Of course, Dakota Wesleyan and Dakota State, that'll be here for some college football. I want to say it's next Thursday, if memory serves correctly, for that one. Always looking forward to that contest. And looking forward to the season there, too, from the Frontier Conference. Check out our website, hubcityradio.com, for more details. You've got the friendly today, St. Paul, Minnesota. That's the destination for Northern State. They'll be taking on St. Catharines there on the pitch. Friendly.
Looking forward to it.
Absolutely.
Is it a friendly or is it an exhibition
It's an exhibition. let's just call it for what it is. It's an exhibition. Boys golf, you've got the West Central early bird invite there with Aberdeen Roncalli. I believe tee-off was actually at about 9 o'clock this morning. Aberdeen Central on the pitch. They'll be taking on Sioux Falls Jefferson. That's a twin bill. Can you utilize that? That's usually a baseball term, twin bill, for like doubleheaders.
Yeah.
We'll go with it for soccer there, too. Why not? That's down south in Sioux Falls. And Garrettson, they play host to Groton area. Twins bring in the Athletics tonight, 6:40 on Fox Sports Aberdeen. We're back at it tomorrow from Mike Schmidt's office, a quasi-Wolves midweek on Fox Sports Aberdeen.